We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary at Trinity United Methodist Church here at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. We would like to wish everyone a happy Easter. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. On April 27th, from 6 to 9 p.m., with dessert and refreshments following, we also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And now we will have special music by Proof and Tony Ann Harris, the Easter song.
Happy Easter!
To have the lovely and talented Tony Ann Harris up here singing with us. We are beyond honored and tickled. And we love having Georgie Ann accompanying us as well. It don't get no better than this, folks.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that is risen from the dead.
The angel upon the tombstone said he is risen just as he said.
Quickly now, go tell the disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, He is risen, alleluia, He's risen, alleluia, He's risen, alleluia. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that Christ is risen from the dead. Quickly now, go tell His disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, He is risen. Hallelujah, He's risen. Hallelujah, He's risen. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Thank you, Proof and Tony Ann. We will now have our scripture reading. You'll find it in Luke 24. 1 through 12. It's on page 1047 in your pew Bible if you would like to join along or follow along. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This we'll have sermon, resurrection, and remembrance by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Down through the centuries, there have been various attempts by scholars to disprove or to prove the resurrection. We, by faith, live into the resurrection. But let me list off just a couple of these theories. The first one I find rather amusing. The stolen body hypothesis is perhaps one of the most popular exclamations among scholars. This theory supposes that grave robbers tampered with the tomb and moved the corpse of Christ in the middle of the night. Some suggest that the grave robbers were disciples attempting to prove something. Some suggest that Pilate, in an attempt to squash a new movement that was born anyway, stole the body. And then there's the wrong tomb theory, where the ladies go up to the tomb, and supposedly in the darkness, they become just a bit distressed, and they arrive at the wrong tomb. They see a couple of gardeners, which is biblical, mind you, but they say, "He is not here," meaning he is over there. What they really mean to say is, "He is not here, and we have no explanation for why he is not here." The women flee in panic, and the rest for us Christians is history. Now you're going to love this one. Have you ever heard the lettuce, or sometimes called the salad theory? This one supposes that there is a gardener outside the tomb. This stuff is real. I can't make it up. Look them up. These are all hypotheses that scholars have used. This one supposes that this gardener is tired of people trampling over his new plants, and he takes the body and he moves it. And then there is my favorite theory, the twin brother theory. Now, we've not seen the twin brother in his 33 years upon this planet, but they say there's a twin brother, and the twin brother has been interposed into the tomb, that Christ died upon the cross, and the twin brother is the one now actually walking around as Jesus. One of the latest explanations by the famous scholar John Dominic Crossman at the University of DePauw says that Jesus' body was likely eaten by dogs, the same as the rest of the criminals that were crucified. I find each and every one of these rather hilarious and somewhat sad, that people try so hard with their intellect to prove or disprove something which, by faith, can comfort, bring peace, and help the world in its troubles today. The facts just don't add up, Mr. Watson, it can be said. Presto, we can prove or disprove the resurrection. Others, you may have noted, have entered the tomb trying to prove it. There is the Shroud of Turin that comes to mind, which is somewhat similar to the misguided search for Noah's Ark, in which some people believe that the Ark is still around and it has been hidden. People claim that they have got DNA and they have got dated carbon 14 going all the way back to that tomb, and they can now prove that Easter really did happen. Well, I can prove that Easter really did happen as well. I have the record of it right here. Extra biblical curricula also tells us that Jesus Christ did indeed rise from the tomb. Trying to prove the resurrection is a bit like trying to prove that the Creator lives, trying to prove logically, intellectually, that God lives, without being willing to open your heart, without being willing to open your spirit. The truth of Easter is that there is a Creator that spoke existence into being, who had a good plan for us through Jesus Christ. Something happened to those disciples. Those disciples who were absolutely terrified, who fled their Master and Savior when he was needing them the most. Those very disciples who fled were bolstered with courage, were bolstered with faith through the Holy Spirit, and they each proclaimed the gospel message throughout their lifetime, most of them being martyred for their faith. Most of the disciples believed strongly in Jesus Christ and overcame their fear and went on to proclaim the gospel message, as we all should. Myths are important and a powerful way to view a window into the truth. But myths do not make martyrs. Nobody believes in any myth or any rumor so much that they are willing to die for it. The truth is that our country has become a little bit apathetic. We want to prove everything scientifically and intellectually. I want you to notice with me this morning, when exactly does Easter happen for all of those women in Luke? They come down the path to embalm the body, carrying the spices, lovingly wanting to do this one last thing for their Lord and Master. They see the stone rolled away. They feel a sense of fear and intrepidation. And then, they continue on to the path to see that the tomb is empty. But do they then believe in the resurrection? No, not yet. That is not the moment that they believe in the resurrection. Two guys in dazzling clothing appear and tell them that he is not there, that he is risen just as he said he would. Does that make them believe automatically in the resurrection? No, beloved, that in and of itself doesn't. Even though angels are terrifying, paranormal beings, if I had an angel standing in front of me telling me something, I do believe that I would drop to my knees in belief and fully believe everything that was being said. But Easter does not happen for them yet. There is a modern mantra about Easter that goes something like this. If only I had been there, if only I had witnessed it with my own two eyes, if only I could put my fingers in the nail-scarred hands, if only I could touch the side, perhaps I could believe in this Jesus and become one of his followers as well. But these women were right there. They were seeing what was happening. They could feel the stone where Jesus' warm body had rested only hours before. They saw the folded grave jammies. They interviewed angels. But still, Easter was not real for them. What happened in the hearts of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the other women to make them fully believe in the resurrection? Beloved, it was this. It is a short verse, verse 8. Remember, they said, remember how he told you. But this began the belief in them that they were standing in the middle of a miracle. Remember what he said to you. Remember how he prepared you. Remember that he prepared you with washing your feet, with the Lord's Supper. Remember that he prepared you by telling you that this would happen upon the remembrance of his words. Remember how he told you. Remember. Upon that resurrection actually happened in their hearts. And may I say also, revival, which is what I hope will happen in our hearts this morning. We have come here by faith because we believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our country is sadly in need of a revival. It is in need of an inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us to cause us to look towards the cross, to remember what Christ Jesus did for us, and to cause us to become more and more like him. We tend to want to prove or disprove something. Long live the intellect. The intellect is the greatest stumbling block of our faith. But what if Easter does not happen for everyone in the same way? What if what these women really needed to hear was this is what Christ Jesus did. This is what he told you he would do. He told us he would rise. And he has indeed risen. That is what makes our faith different from any other faith, is that we have a risen Savior who lives at the right hand of God today, who fills us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and carries us through every trial in our life by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What if we have forgotten all of his promises to us? Theopan the recluse, a 19th century Russian spiritual master, once wrote, "Everywhere and always, God is with us, near to us, and in us. But we are not always with him, since we do not remember him." Then they remembered his words. Our forgetting the words of Christ Jesus does not cancel out the reality that he is risen today. But when we remember that he did indeed foretell these things, it gives us courage to live into and to believe the rest of the words in the living word of God. We in America are on the verge of forgetting the word of God. We no longer tell this story in our homes. We no longer hold on to these words and use it as a measure of comfort and hope and peace and reality to lift one another up. We have 64 channels worth of words. We have the great World Wide Web worth of words that can prove or disprove anything we want. America has become apathetic. Those in third world countries are growing and thriving in Christ Jesus because they tenaciously hold on to every word that is ever preached to them. There is a group of missionaries in Africa. They were going from village to village and sharing the word when their car broke down. They knew that they better find that mechanic pretty soon before he got into church, because when he got into church, he was going to be there for hours. That's what other countries do. We have trouble sitting still for 1 hour in church. We give 1 hour of our week to our Lord. Some of us have a morning or an evening devotional, but we are on the verge of becoming lukewarm. And why? Because we have stopped telling the Bible story in our homes. Because we have stopped clinging to the living word of Jesus Christ. Theologian Ellen Cherry points out, unless our children know Jesus, what will protect them from the darkness of this world? What will protect them from hurting themselves and others? I might also ask this question of adults. Unless we know Jesus, unless we have a one-on-one relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ, what is going to protect us from the darkness of this world? So how will resurrection happen among such a proud people? We Americans are a proud people. We are a rich nation. We are smart. We are educated. And sometimes all of these things get in the way of our faith. Easter happened for the women at the tomb when they remembered his words. It behooves us to ask this Easter, how many of Jesus' words are portable for us? What words of Jesus can we take into the tombs of this world? What words of Jesus can we take into our homes, into our communities, into our hospitals, into our workplaces that will comfort and provide peace for others? Here in America, we undeniably have a memory problem. We also have an apathy problem. You may have noticed that in magazines like Newsweek, they talk about the explosion of Christianity in third world countries. I don't think that's such a bad thing. Do you know that these countries are now sending missionaries over here to evangelize us? I don't think that's such a bad thing either. That it might reawaken and rekindle revival in our hearts. That it might make us remember our passion for our Lord Jesus Christ. The center of the Christian world is shifting. We must regain our way, for we have lost our way. We must regain our way, and we must focus on his word. Maybe I'm missing something today, but the whole power of the resurrection for all those women at the tomb, the whole reason that each and every one of you are sitting here in this church today is because he told us that he would indeed rise from that grave, that he would indeed return. I look forward to that day of his return. And the older I get, the more ready I become from it. But yet I must live in this world at this time. Today, we celebrate our youth taking a part in leadership in this church. Today, we celebrate a family coming into the church by profession of faith and by baptism. This morning, we celebrated breakfast together. We have a lot to be thankful for. Beloved, Resurrection happens in our lives when we choose to cultivate a healthy, believable Christian memory, when we choose to live by the word of God, when we choose to act as He did, feeding the hungry, clothing the needy, visiting the sick and those in prison, then revival will come about. I'm going to turn this over to Georgianne and to our young people as they lead us in. He lives. I know that my Redeemer lives today. I invite you to listen clearly and in your heart find your own words of remembrance that brings Christ alive to each of you this day.